The following program, Normal Show Live, is intended for responsible adults only. We advocate for the repeal of marijuana prohibition for adults. We discuss the science, culture, and controversy about America's marijuana laws. We do not advocate or encourage any illegal activity and advise all listeners to learn their state and federal marijuana laws by visiting normal.org, N-O-R-M-L.org. Opinions and claims made by guests and advertisers of Normal Show Live are their own and do not necessarily reflect the philosophy and policies of Normal. Listener discretion is advised.
You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it,
and it goes down smooth. Hey!
Spanning the continent to bring you the truth about cannabis and marijuana law reform.
I smoke pot and I like it a lot.
From the promise of legalization.
And I think we need to rethink and criminalize our marijuana laws.
To the agony of prohibition.
Well, one major responsibility is to encourage people to use less drugs.
The National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws presents. Normal Show Live, Marijuana Nation. Now, here's your host, Normal's Outreach Coordinator, Radical Russ Belville.
Good afternoon, tokers and tokettes. It is Monday, December 6, 2010, and it's got to be 420 somewhere in the world. Thanks for joining us for the next 2 hours of news, talk, interviews, information, music, comedy, and more by, for, and about the cannabis community. Our first hour is podcast as the Normal Daily Audio Stash on iTunes and our blog at stash.normal.org. Our second hour is live only for those of you listening to us on Stickam. We'll be taking your calls in the second hour. Before we get to all of that, let's introduce everyone in the studio. First of all, Ganja John.
My mouse just died on me.
The mouse died?
I don't know what we're going to do.
A mouse killer. I'll see if the trackpad will work there.
Oh, yeah, duh.
Love having that backup technology.
Yeah, there you go. That would have screwed the whole show.
Yeah, we can't have that. Also joining us from our virtual studio in Grastoria, Oregon, is the lovely Cannabis Carrie.
Hello. For everything.
That's right, back in my day. Oh boy, we got a great show coming up for today. In our first hour, we're going to be speaking with Chris Goldstein at half past. He's with Normal New Jersey, and we're going to talk about the so-called compromise between Governor Christie and Assemblyman Gascora out there in New Jersey that is going to bring some of the most restrictive laws on medical marijuana will finally be activated in the state of New Jersey, as we call it, the No Garden State. At 45 past, a little radical ranting, we're going to talk about Willie Nelson, who is truly demonstrating the Christmas spirit in the face of his arrest in Hudspeth County, Texas. Also, a little note about the rest of us 850,000 Americans who will be arrested for marijuana sometime this year. We also have our Daily Toker Tunes Roots Monday. We're going to hear some great music from Huey Lewis and the News. Yeah, Huey Lewis and the News. They're back and better than ever. But first, our hemp headlines with Cannabis Carrie. What's in the news today?
Well, today we're going to talk about a statement that Governor Gary Johnson made over the weekend, plus a human rights advocacy group has put New York on notice about the way they treat misdemeanor defendants. And also we're going to go out to Colorado, where they've got some groundbreaking legislation that they're trying to get passed early next year.
All right. Also, we have some updates on the Michelle Leonhardt nomination. We'll get to those as we can during the show. And in the second hour, we'll be taking your calls at 971-533-7111.
Almost said your cell phone number.
I know, almost said my cell phone number has a 533 in it, and so I keep getting confused. It's just very, very tough for me. Also, we'll be taking your calls in our second hour at the Normal Show Live's Toker Talk Radio. We'll be talking about KushCon in Denver. The normal calendar is coming up on today's show. All sorts of stuff. Just stay tuned. It's Normal Show Live.
You're listening to Normal Show Live, the voice of the Marijuana Nation.
Georgia, Hi, this is Willie Nelson, and I need your help. Alcohol prohibition didn't work in the 20s, and marijuana prohibition isn't working today. It's time we stop arresting law-abiding citizens because they prefer marijuana over alcohol. Nearly 2,000 Americans are arrested every day on marijuana charges. We're unfairly destroying the lives and careers of hundreds of thousands of people each year simply because they smoke marijuana. These are not criminals. They're average citizens like you, good neighbors who work hard, raise families, pay taxes, and contribute to their communities. We need your help to end marijuana prohibition once and for all. It's the fair thing to do.
For more information, contact NORML, the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws. Call toll-free 888-67-NORML or visit their website at norml.org.
Medical marijuana, industrial hemp, consumer cannabis. It's time for this week's NORML News with Cannabis Carry.
The former governor of New Mexico and the most honest possible presidential candidate when it comes to cannabis is Republican Gary Johnson. Johnson has been speaking around the country at many pro-cannabis rallies, including the NORML National Convention this year. He has often said publicly that he doesn't smoke marijuana, but that he has smoked marijuana. But this weekend, in an interview to the Weekly Standard, a political magazine and blog, Johnson admitted publicly for the first time that he smoked marijuana more recently than his youth. The governor of New Mexico from 1994 to 2002 said that he smoked marijuana regularly from 2005 to 2008 for medicinal purposes. He told the interviewer that it wasn't information that he usually volunteered, but that reporter John McCormick was the first person to actually ask him a direct question about it. He said that it was just luck that he hadn't been arrested. Back in 2005, Johnson was injured badly in a paragliding accident in Hawaii, where his sails got caught in a tree, causing a 50-foot fall to the ground. He suffered multiple bone fractures, including a burst fracture to his T12 vertebrae. He said that treatment for the worst pain he had ever felt included smoking marijuana. Quote, rather than using painkillers, which I have used on occasion before, I did smoke pot. As a result of having my broken my back, blowing out both of my knees, breaking ribs, really taking about 3 years to recover. He explained that he had experience with painkillers once before that caused him to suffer nasty side effects, and the pain of withdrawing from the pills was unbearable. Ex-Governor Gary Johnson is just one of the many in a growing field of candidates pursuing an eventual presidential run, and his main platform is fiscal conservatism. But it is his belief that the prohibition of cannabis must end is what is getting him the most press. It remains to be seen if this admission of such a recent crime in the state of New Mexico will become a frequent interview question for the political candidate, but he will no doubt be asked some follow-up questions in future interviews.
That's really interesting. Now, of course, New Mexico does have a medical marijuana program, but the story doesn't mention him going through the medical marijuana program in New Mexico, does it, Carrie?
No, the medical marijuana program in New Mexico, I believe, was instituted in July of 2008. Maybe you can correct me if I'm wrong, but his accident was in 2005.
Right, so it would have predated that medical marijuana program anyway. Well, you know, here we've got a guy, you know, Gary Johnson, who he's a triathlete. He's climbed Mount Everest, and he was injured severely in that paragliding accident. It's not as if he's just some guy looking to get high, right? And I think that the press and the public will generally give him a pass on this, as they can see how it would definitely be a legitimate medical use. Also, I like what he's saying here about the painkillers that he's taken in the past as well, that he has had experience with those, but those had some nasty side effects, so he used the cannabis instead. What I like about this story is that he's going to get a pass on this because of it being an obvious medical condition, and obviously him being such an athlete and such an active person, but this will also open the door for people to have a better understanding about everyone's medical use of cannabis for pain relief. We have these prescription and non-prescription drugs, NSAIDs, non-steroidal anti-inflammatories, that are pushed down the throats of the American people, so much to the point where the FDA has had to come out with an announcement, a warning to people about these over-the-counter painkillers, Tylenols, Aleves, these kind of things, as well as the Oxycontins and Vicodins and such, that are causing such problems for people. They're toxic. They'll hurt your liver. They have terrible side effects. They stop up your bowels. It's just, we should give people a nice, safe, effective remedy in herbal cannabis across all 50 states for medical use.
And Human Rights Watch, one of the world's leading independent advocacy groups dedicated to ending human rights violations, has just released a new report that shows a majority of New Yorkers arrested for misdemeanor offenses, such as smoking marijuana in public, can end up spending weeks in jail because of the inability to afford bail. The group that most often focuses on abuses abroad studied data on non-felony cases in New York City. Most bails set for people arrested for non-felonies, like jumping a subway turnstile or consuming or displaying cannabis in public, is set at $1,000. The group found that 87% of the defendants in cases where the bail was set at $1,000 for a misdemeanor did not post bail and went to jail to await trial. In cases such as these, defendants languished in jail for an average of over 2 weeks. The study also highlighted the math, finding that New York's policy of locking people away for that long before trial cost the state tens of millions of dollars. The supervising judge for Manhattan and New York City Criminal Court, Melissa Jackson, said that the primary reason that judges in the city set the bail amounts that high is because defendants have failed to appear in court in the past if the bail is set any lower. But Jamie Fellner, a senior counsel for the Human Rights Watch, told the New York Times that a defendant's freedom should not be contingent on how much money they have, and said that a pretrial liberty should not be a condition of the size of your bank account. The report raised the possibility that many of the poorer defendants pleaded guilty at arraignments for sentences with no jail time, simply to avoid being behind bars while awaiting trial. Robin Steinberg, the director of the Bronx Defenders, a nonprofit group that provides legal representation to Bronx residents charged with crimes, says that her clients are placed with a choice of staying out of jail and being on Rikers Island and fighting their case. She said almost anybody would plead guilty in that situation, creating pressure on poor people in the criminal justice system for them to plead guilty without regard to whether they were guilty or not guilty.
And everyone needs to remember, when we're talking about this story, we're talking about the state of New York, which is a decriminalized state. It is decriminalized. It is only a ticket to get yourself caught possessing less than an ounce of marijuana. It's only a ticket, no jail time. So why are we talking about people languishing in jail? Well, because the cops there in New York City, ever since the reign of Giuliani at the time, have come up with this nasty little loophole they can use to get pot smokers thrown behind bars. And it's what Carrie briefly mentioned in the story there, the public display of marijuana. Sure, that ounce in your pocket, if you're caught with it, it's just a ticket. The problem is the cops will stop people, usually young black and Latino people, and shake them down and say they have to frisk them. And they pat down on their pocket and they can feel what feels to be like a baggie of marijuana, perhaps. And they say, oh, it seems like you've got marijuana in your pocket. You know, if you just take it out of your pocket, this will go a whole lot easier. And so the kid goes, all right, and he takes the marijuana out of his pocket. Well, he's just moved from getting a ticket to getting a misdemeanor and handing the evidence right over to that cop, who then takes the cop and books them and sends them to, like they say, Rikers Island, where they're facing $1,000 bail to be able to get out of jail. Now you're talking about some young kid, 18, 19, 20, whatever, who's now in jail, who can't raise the $1,000, who's now stuck behind bars for 2 weeks with the worst of the worst, the lowest of the low criminals in there, who will teach him more criminal lifestyle. The 2 weeks that he's gone, if he had a job, now he's lost his job because he's been gone for 2 weeks or longer without any sort of permission. And since he's out of a job, he now can't take care of his responsibilities, feed his family, pay his rent. So what does he do? Turns to crime, turns to dealing weed. And the cycle continues. Let's break this cycle and just fully legalize marijuana so we can end the criminalization of good young people.
Colorado is tackling a sticking point in many cannabis legalization debates by asking its legislature if driving under the influence of medical marijuana should be punished the same way as drunk driving. Drivers with a blood alcohol level of 0.08 or higher are charged with a DUI in Colorado. Now, a similar test involving an active ingredient in marijuana, THC, is being pursued with the introduction of a bill where anyone with 5 nanograms per milliliter of blood is considered over the limit. Under through a proposal expected to be introduced early in 2011, the state would try to create such a threshold limit by law to combat stoned driving. Drivers that are suspected of being impaired by marijuana or any other drugs, including legal prescription drugs, are already required to submit to a blood test or face suspension of their license. The new proposal would set a standard by which law enforcement would presume a driver is under the influence of marijuana to the point of impairment. State law already bans drug-related impaired driving, but lawmakers say that a bright line in the way law enforcement officials handle the cases is needed. Arapahoe County Sheriff Grayson Robinson, a member of a commission to study the idea, says there is a growing concern that an explosion in the state's medical marijuana program might lead to more impaired driving. He said that the THC threshold at 5 nanograms per milliliter of blood is the level that research shows is indicative of impairment. The proposal received the commission's full endorsement, although lawyer Sean McAllister, who served on the commission's drug policy subgroup, says that the research didn't take into account the tolerance level of frequent users. He worries that the proposal will unfairly target medical marijuana patients who might have higher THC levels without impairment. He advises patients to wait 4 hours after using marijuana before driving. David Kaplan, the state's former top public defender, said he shares concerns over the 5 nanogram level and whether, quote, there was a strong enough correlation on what impact it has on your driving behavior, unquote. Still, Kaplan, who is the vice chairman of the commission, said he supports the process by which the commission came to its proposal. If the proposal is adopted, Colorado would not be the first state to set a maximum THC limit for drivers because a number of states have a zero tolerance policy for drivers with THC in their blood.
Yeah, this is something we've been reporting on at Normal for quite some time. And for anybody out there who's curious about the real scientific information on cannabis and driving, please visit normal.org. Look for Paul Armentano's white paper called Cannabis and Driving, a Rational Review. It's amazing the studies that have been done. With respect to this proposed law for Colorado, 5 nanograms per milliliter of THC in the blood. Let me explain to people because you might get confused about this. This is not pee tests we're talking about. When we're talking about pee tests, what they're testing for is THC-COOH or THC-COO or carboxy-THC, which is the inactive metabolite of cannabis. In fact, when they're detecting the inactive metabolite, they're detecting that you're not high anymore because it takes long enough to metabolize it that you've actually used up the THC in your system. This is not the urine test we're talking about, though. These are blood tests, and in the blood tests, they're testing for active THC, the actual impairing chemical within cannabis. However, even within blood tests, a level of a certain nanograms per milliliter of blood do not necessarily indicate one's impairment. As Carrie mentioned in the story, people who have used cannabis for a long time can develop a tolerance to its psychomotor impairing effects. This is a story we reported on in Normal News a couple of weeks ago, the latest study coming out of the Netherlands showing that frequent users of cannabis can build up a tolerance to its impairing effects. Now, this proposed Colorado law would be equal to the law or somewhat like the law in Pennsylvania, which criminalizes 5 nanograms per milliliter or more as per se impairment. Anything above 5 nanograms, you're busted. Ohio and Nevada have a 2 nanograms per milliliter limit. Anything higher than that, you're busted like a drunk driver. In the states of Iowa, Wisconsin, and Michigan, and Rhode Island, they have a zero tolerance of THC in the blood system. If you have any active THC in your blood, you're considered an impaired driver. And even worse than that, we have states like Utah, Arizona, South Dakota, Georgia, and Delaware that have, and Illinois and Indiana that have zero tolerance for metabolites in your urine. So even if they catch the non-impairing metabolites in your urine that can stick around in your system for weeks or even months if you're a heavy user, they will consider you an impaired driver. This is unfortunately the Rubicon we have to cross here in the drug reform organizations is to decide how we're going to handle this issue of the so-called stoned drivers. Now, we can point out study after study that shows marijuana users drive more carefully, that marijuana users aren't any more likely to get into wrecks, that people that use marijuana often are able to build up a tolerance to its impairing effects. But you know what? That's not going to win in the court of public opinion. We've been saying for a while now, treat it like alcohol, treat it like alcohol. Well, when you treat it like alcohol, people think of drunk drivers and people think of breathalyzers. So now they want us to come up with the magic breathalyzer for marijuana, the magic machine that will tell us when someone is too stoned to drive. It is what we're going to have to face. If that's that's the case, we are going to have to fight for these 5-nanogram limits so that we don't end up with a 2-nanogram or a 0-nanogram zero tolerance limit. This is going to be a very tough battle for us to fight. And I don't see how we can get around embracing a 5-nanogram per milliliter limit without going out and attacking the blood alcohol concentrations in breathalyzers, because they're built on the same principle. The mistaken idea that you can somehow scientifically determine whether or not someone is fit enough to drive based on the chemistry of their urine or the chemistry of their bloodstream. The whole damn drug testing paradigm is out of order in this respect, but if we're forced to have to deal with it, we're going to have to decide on how we're going to fight our battles and what limits that we should or should not fight for.
I think it's time we make our blood levels a little higher than 0.5 nanograms.
A little bit higher than 5 nanograms per milliliter. We also have news on Michelle Leonhardt coming up in hour two. We'll be right back after this.
It's 20 after the hour, and we have to take a short break, if you know what I mean. Please support these sponsors who support Normal Show Live.
Oh, have you ever met that funny reefer man? A reefer man. Have you ever met that funny reefer man? Reefer man. If he said he swam to China, he would send you South Carolina. Then you know you're talking to that reefer man.
Of Americans no longer support arresting and jailing marijuana smokers. And nearly as many support the medical patients having access to medical marijuana. And over 80% of our citizens now believe the war on drugs is an ineffective failure. So the question is, when will the government's misguided war on adult marijuana smokers finally end? When? Simple. When you and your like-minded friends, family, and coworkers get involved with an organization such as the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws, also known as NORML. My name is Keith Stropp, and I founded the organization in 1970. Contact us at NORML, toll-free, 888-67-NORML, or by visiting the organization's up-to-date webpage at www.normal.org.
It's time for your daily Toker Tunes, the best in 420-friendly music from all genres that uplifts, entertains, and informs the public. Today we bring you tunes for Roots Monday, our celebration of the music that evolved into the popular modern music of today. We pick the best of blues, country, folk, and jazz with a 420 feel and serve it up for you every Monday. Brought to you by Cannabis Carry in Astoria, Oregon, and CannabisFantastic.com. If you'd like to submit your song to be played on Normal Show Live, send it to us at stash@normal.org. Now here's some more great independent marijuana music for today's Daily Toker Tunes.
Welcome back, everyone. Start of a brand new week. We go back to the roots here. And, you know, you're talking roots. I guess you're talking my roots. 1985, Huey Lewis and the News had their big album, Sports, and they're back here on Normal Show Live's Toker Talk Radio. Carrie, tell us all about it. How did we end up with Huey Lewis?
Well, you know, just a weekend of perusing the internet to see what pod-safe music was out there. But if you were at least a teenager in the 1980s, you will be relieved to know that Huey Lewis is, in fact, still alive and making music with his band, The News. Their brand new album, yes, brand new album, Soulsville, marks the band's first studio album in 9 years. Released in October of this year, it is a cover album of classic blues and soul music. Most of it's pretty obscure, but all of it blends very well with their signature sound. Now, it's been 26 years since Huey Lewis was best known for his hit song, I Want a New Drug, but only 2 years ago, it was Huey Lewis and his band that wrote and recorded the theme song for the 2008 mega ganja movie, Pineapple Express. Along with band members Steph Burns, Joni Beaumont, and Rob Suddeth, Lewis set out to solidify their style that once sounded so 80s, but now defines them as the ambassadors of vintage rock that they've always meant to be. So please enjoy today's tune. It's a cover from a Rufus Thomas hit, Little Sally Walker.
All right, Little Sally Walker, Huey Lewis, and the News. In an hour or two, we'll tell you why Ganja Don doesn't like them. This is Huey Lewis.
Ride, Sally, ride. Wipe your weeping eyes. Put your hands.
Stash on for your iPod? Check out the Daily Toker Tunes at the Stash blog by surfing to stash.normal.org and choosing Media and then Toker Tunes from the main menu.
It only comes twice a day, but I don't care. It's 420 somewhere.
All right, time to check Normal's Cannabis Community Calendar, which you can find at normal.org/calendar. Today, Monday, December 6th, there's a meeting of the Veterans Support Group for Oregon Normal at the Cannabis Cafe, which you can find at 322 Southeast 82nd Avenue in Portland, Oregon. Check out ORNORML for more details. On Tuesday, December 7th, there are a whole bunch of Compassion Clubs and medicating events taking place in the state of Michigan. Northern Michigan Compassion Club in Sheboygan, a weekly medicating event in Hazel Park, Michigan, the Greater Torch Lake Area Compassion Club in Alden, Michigan, and the Kalamazoo Area Compassion Club in Kalamazoo, Michigan, all meeting tomorrow, Tuesday, December 7th. Also on Tuesday, Hemp TV is on the air in Albuquerque, New Mexico. Call 505-880-0666 for tickets to the show. On Wednesday, December 8th, Grand Traverse Compassion Connection meeting is happening in Traverse City, Michigan. GTCompassionConnection.org for more details. Then coming up this weekend, a lot of great holiday events taking place. Cleveland Normal is having their holiday fundraiser at the Garage Bar. Check out clevelandnormal.org for more information. The Northern Michigan Compassion Club is meeting in Petoskey, Michigan. And there's going to be a public meeting for Johnson County Normal at the Black Dog Coffee House this Saturday afternoon. On Sunday, December 12th, Macon County Normal is having their meeting in Macon County, Michigan, in Roseville, Michigan, that is, at Moose Tracks Bar and Grill. And looking forward also to the following weekend, on December 18th, the Oregon Medical Cannabis Awards takes place in Portland, Oregon. The best medical cannabis strains in the state, judged by patients. Check that out at ornorml.org. And, of course, the big event we're looking forward to, KushCon in Denver, 300,000 square feet marijuana expo taking place. We are going to be co-broadcasting with John Doe Radio all 3 days of KushCon in Denver, Colorado. That's Denver, Friday the 17th through Sunday the 19th in Denver, Colorado. And we're asking for your help to help support our wireless broadcasting there. We want to bring you all around the arena. It's going to cost a little scratch for us to get some wireless internet for that. So check out our PayPal at radicalruss@gmail.com if you'd like to contribute to the show, contribute to our internet account so that we can bring you the best live streaming with the least drops. And we want to have a good, solid connection for both of our streams, both johndoeradio.com and Normal Show Live. And for more information on all of our calendar of events, check out Normal's calendar of events at normal.org/calendar.
Starfish Designs, makers of the original Gandalf.
I'm Radical Russ, and when I want to relax, I always have my 17-inch long original Gandalf from Starfish Designs nearby. The hand-blown borosilicate glass is strong and easy to clean, and the design is sleek and sophisticated. Starfish Designs are available from Bend, Oregon at a glass retailer near you. For locations, call 541-788-GLASS. That's 541-788-4527.
You really want to legalize marijuana? Prove it. Join Normal today at NORML.org, and your donation will help us spread the growing truth about cannabis. Free speech ain't free, you know.
Free the ganja tree, it's the healing of the nation. Free the cali weed, good for meditation. Free the pot smokers, they're in a delight. Lighting up the chalice, they keep no malice.
Free the marijuana,
come on, say.
Free the marijuana,
hear me, say.
Free the marijuana,
come on, say.
Free the marijuana.
The effects of marijuana prohibition are felt by all Americans in every walk of life, regardless of race, creed, color, religion, social status, wealth, gender, sexual orientation, or even one's use or non-use of marijuana. As the marijuana smokers lobby, Normal hears the stories of these average Americans and brings them to the attention of our policymakers and our fellow citizens in this segment we call Normal Newsmakers.
All right, welcome back. Half past here, and we're getting Chris Goldstein from Normal, New Jersey on the line for our Normal Newsmaker segment. We're going to be talking about the New Jersey medical marijuana program and the recent compromise that has been found between the governor, who hates medical marijuana, and the assemblyman who was a part of bringing that medical marijuana to us. Unfortunately, we're having some trouble getting Chris on the line here, so we're going to take a quick break here, maybe play a little bumper while we get the telephone thing taken care of here. Just one moment while we get this taken care of. Also, for more information on the New Jersey medical marijuana program, you can check out normalnj.org. That's the website for Normal, New Jersey. Or you can check out the Coalition for Medical Marijuana New Jersey, cmmnj.org. We'll be right back as soon as we can with Chris Goldstein.
Support legalizing and taxing marijuana use.
I think it's time for debate.
Normal Show Live.
And I think that we ought to study very carefully on what other countries are doing that have legalized marijuana and other drugs.
Marijuana Nation.
I saw him hanging there afterwards, a celebration party after the Mr. Olympia smoking a joint. Did he really smoke a joint? And did he, in fact, inhale?
Saying I'm in need of change. I'm in need of change. See, I used to get high.
John said that you and him used to smoke weed together.
He was right.
He was right?
We always had a good time. We know how to enjoy ourselves.
Nothing to lose. Now I can't get high. Can't get high.
Come on, Cohagan. You got what you want. Give these people air.
Days come to pass and the nights tend to last much longer than they should.
I'll be back.
Yeah, I used to get high. The end of the day, I used to get high. That time ticking away, and I used to get high. Nothing to lose, now I can't get high. Can't get high. And you see, I wrote a thousand words today.
Michael Phelps, Olympic superstar, 14 gold medals, world record holder. Bomb smoker. So much for that amotivational syndrome.
We're back 34 after the hour, and we are joined by telephone with Chris Goldstein from Normal, New Jersey. Chris, how you doing?
I'm doing great. It's great to speak with you today. Thanks for having me on.
Hey, we're glad to have you here, and we wanted to talk about the governor there, Governor Christie, because he proposed all sorts of terrible rules for the New Jersey medical marijuana program, and it looked like as if the assemblyman and the senator who were original sponsors of this bill were going to fight him on that, but now they've come to some sort of compromise. Can you give us the behind the scenes? What's going on with this compromise?
We lost him.
Oh, my goodness. I think we've lost Chris on the line now. We'll try and call him back here. All right. Let's mute that Skype channel, and we'll just try a redial here. Don't know why that's happening. But we'll just call everyone back. Sorry, folks, for the problems here with the Skype connection. We're trying to get a hold of Chris Goldstein from Normal, New Jersey. And, he's calling into us. Okay. We got him called back here. Chris, we're back on the line with you. Sorry about that drop.
All right. Yeah, sorry. Talking about the governor and his restrictions, huh?
Yeah, and I just wanted to, you know, it seemed to me that we were originally going to have the assemblyman and the senator who proposed the bill. We're going to fight them on this, but now they've come to some sort of compromise. What's the backroom deal we don't know about here?
Well, see, that's the funny part, is that Senators Gattari and Assemblyman Gassiora had authored this resolution that was moving pretty steadily through the legislature. It had passed through Assembly and Senate committees, The Assembly then passed it in a floor vote, and that's what kind of has everybody scratching their head here. Even Senator Scutari was not aware of this backroom deal. And I have to say, we were preparing for public hearings in Trenton with the Department of Health and Senior Services, and even they seemed unaware of this backroom deal. So it looks like Chris Christie and one assemblyman, Assemblyman Reed Gussiora of Princeton, New Jersey, he's a Democrat, and he was also one of the sponsors of the law originally, have gone behind the scenes and cut and announced this deal. Now, we haven't even really seen the details of this so-called compromise, but I'll tell you, Russ, it's not a compromise at all. I mean, I guess only in New Jersey would it be considered a compromise to actually follow some of the language of the law, but that's basically what they've done. You know, they say they're going to follow the original language of the law with the six alternative treatment centers. The really terrible part about the announcement on Friday, other than the fact that they canceled the public hearing for a month, but they removed the one innovation that New Jersey was going to try out, which is to regulate a home delivery service for patients. Now, DHSS had come up with, you know, along with all these draconian provisions, they had come up with this way to regulate delivery vehicles and delivery agents for medical marijuana. They've dropped that entirely. Mm. I guess that was part of the compromise. Again, only in New Jersey would it be considered a compromise to actually follow the language of the law and get rid of any things for patients. So we're really really kind of stuck. We're waiting to hear back from the senator today and find out if he's going to pursue the resolution. Now, the governor and the assemblyman want to make you believe that if the resolution passes, it'll be years before we have a medical marijuana program, but that's just not the case. The resolution would force a 30-day rewrite, so instead of some backroom deal with a single legislator, you'd probably see a more transparent process to try and get a more reasonable set of regulations here. But, you know, keep in mind, I'm sorry, go ahead.
I was going to say, do you think that might be the reason why they don't want to do it that way? They don't want it to be transparent. They don't want the public and the people, the patients that would be so obviously visibly suffering to cause a PR spectacle.
Well, certainly. I mean, that's why they canceled the public hearing. You know, they already had, you know, the public is behind us. I mean, 82% of residents support the law. The media is certainly behind us. If you read the editorials and sort of rhetoric from even the regular State House reporters and the like out there. So, yeah, I mean, the Christie administration is doing their best to go against that positive media and everything with what they're doing. But also, too, I mean, it kind of skirts the regulatory process here. I mean, that's the whole point. The hearings are part of the regulatory process, not the legislative debate. So why cancel them? It's to keep the PR on the governor. But, you know, he started a Twitter war with some of our patients, too, Russ. I don't know if you saw that.
No.
But, an MS patient named Chuck Kwiatkowski started bugging him on Twitter, and the governor got back to him over Thanksgiving weekend. And they went back and forth a couple times, but he didn't really budge. And then they came out with this announcement. It's really unfortunate, I have to say, to see Assemblyman Gussiora do this again, but it's not like this is new stuff. This summer, it was Assemblyman Gussiora and Chris Christie who were trying to sell monopoly production rights to Rutgers University.
Right.
And they were also talking about giving monopoly away to the teaching hospitals. That was the same Assemblyman, Reed Gussiora and Chris Christie working together. So, you know, apparently cutting the medical marijuana deals in the back room is something that these two like to do together, and it is a stirring set of bedfellows on this issue for sure.
Yeah, and it doesn't seem like you're getting much back in return. I mean, you said that thing about only in New Jersey could a compromise be, you know, getting what's in the law, and I pointed this out to the listeners that the law, as it was written, called for six alternative treatment centers, which most people would say, six places that grow and sell cannabis, and then the governor wanted to come back and say, oh, no, four of them will sell and two of them will grow. I mean, so the compromise is to get back the six that we originally were going to have?
Right, and have no way to deliver it at home. So, like, the entire state station population is going to have to go in person to six centers around the state. And, you know, again, that's the funny part about all this, is that the regulations never split up cultivation or distribution. That was just what they said they were going to do. So the compromise, so-called compromise, doesn't even touch all the real problems with the regulations from DHSS. And the biggest problem for me is this 10% cap on THC.
Mm-hmm.
And this is, I mean, as you know, I mean, any listeners to the staff have got to know that this is a big problem. But you got to understand, politically, it's an even bigger problem. If New Jersey's State Department of Health starts regulating the cannabinoid content of marijuana, the medical marijuana in the state, Future states might do it. States that already have medical marijuana might want to experiment with that. And really, there's no scientific basis for it. This is looking at medical marijuana down sort of the long barrel of law enforcement's angle here. They're treating medical marijuana as if it were recreational pot, and you need to somehow check the potency. But, you know, you don't give somebody half a dose of ibuprofen. You don't give them half a chemotherapy treatment, you know. And there shouldn't be 10% THC in medical marijuana. It just doesn't make any sense in the realm of science. But this is something that the governor and this DHSS are really pushing for, Russ. Mm-hmm. And I have to say that the folks who would run the medical marijuana program in New Jersey, these are sort of aligned with the healthcare industry. And having below 10% THC, three strains or less of marijuana at six centers in the state, boy, this seems really draconian, like Soviet-style communist medical cannabis to you and I.
Yeah.
But to the medical healthcare industry, boy, this is the easiest way for them to take it on. They're going to have a set standard of stuff. They can buy it wholesale and mark it up, sell it however much they want out the door. And there's no legal competition.
Yeah.
So, you know, we're in a real, I have to say that, you know, working on medical cannabis in New Jersey has turned into a very, very difficult playing field for this, mainly because we're not in some sort of political fight, really, but we're in an ideological battle with a former U.S. attorney.
Yeah. That's it right there. And plus, I wonder if people can see the unintended consequences of something like this. If you set the THC limit at 10% or low, the people that will follow the law end up having to smoke more cannabis if they're smoking it. And the smoke is, of course, the harm that we're trying to keep people away from. Or if they're vaporizing it, they're going to have to go and get it more often or be more likely to run out. Or on the other side of the coin, the people who choose not to follow the law, we've just enriched a whole bunch of underground dealers who are going to sell marijuana that's higher than 10% THC. So it's a lose-lose situation for the people that follow and the people that don't follow the law.
Well, absolutely, too. And remember that New Jersey, the other strange restrictions that are happening here in New Jersey, Russ, are the fact that the Alternative Treatment Center can only sell raw plant material, topical preparations, and that's pretty much it. They can't sell any edibles, any tincture, any oil preparations. None of this can be sold at the ATC. And remember that New Jersey passed a law that said only 2 ounces for a month or less. So this is where the 10% THC really is the torpedo for the whole program in New Jersey. And the one thing, if you could get more than 2 ounces per month, and then you could smoke more if it was less than 10%. But at 2 ounces, 10% or less per month, you know, you are going to be in a real problem, and this is going to be a real problem of a situation. So, you know, there's really nowhere else to go at this point other than trying to fight for a more realistic program. 10% THC, 2 ounces per month, no edibles. I mean, what are you going to do here?
Yeah.
I mean, patients are going to pick up 2 ounces of marijuana. They're going to try and bake a pan of brownies. It's going to burn, and they're going to have no chance to even try again for another 30 days. This is a really tough situation. Let me tell you.
If you could design a medical marijuana program that would least serve patients and be the most pain in the ass to try to follow, I think this might have accomplished it.
Right, and they're touting it as the new model for the rest of the country. I mean, this is the real joke here. And, you know, again, Russ, I think the funny part is that when I go to Trenton and I talk to the legislators or the regulatory officials here, you kind of have to go into the twilight zone where marijuana doesn't exist anywhere else but under their law. I mean, that's what you're going to have to make yourself believe, you know? You have to make yourself believe that marijuana is a rare, very controlled substance that many people don't find or have access to, and it's very expensive on the street. All of those things are not true.
Right.
But, you know, New Jersey wants to act in this way, but the problem also, too, and everybody's probably aware of this, is that Chris Christie is not just the governor of New Jersey. He's like this nascent national political figure. And what I see happening here is sort of a test ground for his national platform on marijuana and medical marijuana. And they have played this very closely, folks, and I hope the folks in California are listening here, because the way they've gotten away with this in New Jersey is that they blame California. They say, oh, God, you know, we can't have a California system in New Jersey, so we're going to have all these draconian restrictions.
Yeah.
Look, the Californians need to be a little bit more vocal about the fact that they like their medical marijuana access, and
yeah,
they like their program, and it's not fraught with difficulty. And Colorado, too. I mean, they say California and Colorado in the same breath all the time here. Mm-hmm. So in these places, there's a free market for medical marijuana. And when they say they want the most restricted program in New Jersey, they don't just mean in the pot and the THC and everything. They don't want a free market here. They don't want a free market industry here. They want a carefully regulated pharmaceutical-style industry, which is, again, Russ, I mean, seriously, we have a major OxyContin problem in the country. The only place that you can get OxyContin is at a doctor, at a hospital, or from a pharmacy, or maybe from a patient who gets it. You can't grow OxyContin in your closet. You're not going to find it growing in the woods. Bales of it are not coming in on trucks from Mexico. OxyContin is diverted by the existing pharmaceutical industry. In New Jersey, they're trying to tell us that the pharmaceutical industry is going to control medical marijuana. My point is they've got to control OxyContin first before we even start to trust them in anything with medical marijuana. Give me a break.
Yeah, no kidding. We can't keep marijuana from going into our supermax prisons. You know, who's going to say we're going to control it in any sort of pharmaceutical? Chris, again, before we let you go, I want to make sure we've covered everything here. We've talked a lot about the 10% THC limit. You added in the no deliveries and the limit to 3 strains. Are there any other parts of this compromise that are troubling to the patients of New Jersey?
Well, they left in the physician registry. And, you know, we're used to talking about a patient registry in states. This is to allow patients to get a registry card and avoid any legal prosecution and to sort of keep it all in line for a state program, which makes sense. In New Jersey, what they're requiring is that doctors register as part of a special physician registry for medical marijuana, even before they can recommend it to any of their patients to join the patient registry. So by putting this extra step in for the doctors, and boy, this is really as draconian as it gets, it also requires doctors to tell patients that marijuana is potentially addictive. Although the one thing they did was they removed the provision of wean them off it, I think. I mean, they're still talking about that, though. I don't know I don't know exactly how these regulations are going to play out, and I'm not sure we will until January when they actually seal them up and do the final publication of them. But rest assured, New Jersey is in for a real battle for a realistic safe asset, and I'm not sure that it won't take some serious, in fact, probably new legislation in the next couple of years to bring this program into the realm where it's actually usable by patients.
It's such a shame hearing these stories, and especially hearing that this is the model that they might try to push for medical marijuana in the future, making it much more restrictive. Again, I like your advice for the California and Colorado patients to be vocal and let people know how much you appreciate the type of medical marijuana access you have. It's becoming rarer and rarer across this country. Chris Goldstein with Normal New Jersey, also working with Coalition for Medical Marijuana New Jersey. Thanks for joining us here on Normal Show Live, and we'll be in touch again regarding everything out there on the East Coast.
Hey, Russ, thanks so much. Have a great day out there.
All right.
Don't touch that dial. We'll be right back after a word from these 420 friendly sponsors. Wait a minute. This is internet radio. There are no dials here.
Ever wonder how often to change your bong water? The most effective method for baking pot brownies? The best destinations for a ganja getaway? How to hide herb in your car? Whether to grow your own? How precisely to legalize it? Or how something as wonderful as marijuana ever got to be illegal in the first place? Finally, you can find all these answers and much more in the official High Times Pot Smokers Handbook, featuring 420 things to do when you're stoned. Since 1974, High Times magazine has covered marijuana in all its aspects and wonders, from cultivation to legalization to the herb's enduring and exalted place in popular culture. Packed with inside information, the official High Times Pot Smokers Handbook wove all of this collected wisdom together into a single indispensable ganja guide, including an entertaining look at marijuana's history, profiles of herb-friendly travel destinations and festivals, favorite potluck recipes from the High Times staff, smoking skills, advocacy and activism, essential marijuana movies and songs, profiles of famous cannabis strains, comprehensive growing information, celebrity endorsements, and much more. This is truly, finally, the ultimate guide to green living.
You want answers?
I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore!
You want answers?
You have offended my family?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
And you have offended Shaolin Temple.
You can't handle the truth!
Surely you can't be serious.
I am serious, and don't call me Shirley.
Hoo-ah!
radical rant.
Welcome back, everyone. 50 after the hour, and Ganja John, remind me, this strain, no good for pre-show.
Terrible.
Terrible for pre-show. Hey, I wanted to give you an update on Willie Nelson, the redheaded stranger, 77-year-old country music and acting legend. We reported about his bust as it happened in Hudspeth County. This is Sierra Blanca, Texas, 30 miles away from the border by the Border Patrol. They busted 77-year-old Willie Nelson and his tour bus because they opened the tour bus door, and they smelled a whiff of weed, and they found him with what at the time they said was 6 ounces of weed, but now apparently is only a misdemeanor amount of weed. Interesting how some of that weed just disappeared between arrest and after all the PR. But anyway, misdemeanor, good. We're glad Willie's not going to be in trouble here. But I wanted to point out something from Willie Nelson's website to just show you the kind of heart that we cannabis consumers have. Remember, we're talking about Hudspeth County in Sierra Blanca, Texas. This is posted just this weekend at WillieNelson.com, and it says, Hudspeth County Sheriff's Office every year takes donations to buy gifts for our school kids. We would greatly appreciate your support. Hudspeth County Sheriff's Office, P.O. Box 39, Sierra Blanca, Texas, 79851. Make your donation in the Willie Nelson name so that they know how much we support Willie. That is so beautiful. We're going to get toys and funds donated for kids' toys in the county for the sheriff who busted Willie Nelson. Talk about turn the other cheek. Talk about let not mankind bogart love. That's just a beautiful thing. Thank you, Willie Nelson, for doing that and making us cannabis consumers look so good. I was checking out the report on this and Willie Nelson arrest here in Rolling Stone. And in Rolling Stone magazine, they point out how the sheriff there was kind of surprised at all the fuss. Chief Deputy Mike Doyle of Hudspeth County Sheriff's Department told Rolling Stone, quote, for what it's worth, we appreciate the mention and we're glad to take any donations for the children of Hudspeth County. We think that's pretty good. Doyle was at the sheriff's office when Nelson was booked and said he was surprised by the remarkable media response. Really? Surprised that there'd be media response to a marijuana bust of Willie Nelson? Really? Surprised? He says, quote, he had a little bag of marijuana and I would never have dreamed of the coverage it got. Nonetheless, we've got a job to do and we've got to do what we've got to do. We handled it as easily as we could and still do our job. The man's what, 77 years old? What are we going to do to him? He was very cooperative and nice and pleasant to be around, end quote. Okay, we got to do our job, got to do our job. We hear this from cops all the time. We don't make the laws, we just enforce them. And yet anytime a medical marijuana law comes up, the cops are in there testifying against it. But never mind, they don't make the laws, right? They just enforce them. But he says he's got to do our job. And, you know, cops across this country are doing their job every day busting marijuana consumers. Over 850,000 of us will be arrested every year on marijuana charges, with 89% of those arrests, about 750,000 of them, being for possession alone, okay? Mostly misdemeanors, mostly less than misdemeanors in some states, talking ticketing offenses in some cases. And only, again, 10 to 11% for any sort of sales or growing. And remember, when we're talking about the growing offenses, that also counts the people who are personally growing, never giving to anyone else, never selling to anyone else, and all the people that are using it medically. Those are also counted in those 850,000 marijuana arrests. Now, Willie Nelson is charged with a Class A misdemeanor, which is a maximum penalty of 1 year and a $4,000 fine. Now, that's up to, again, the district attorneys there and all the lawyers to prosecute that, the prosecuting attorneys to prosecute that. And I'm willing to bet there's going to be some sort of plea deal that makes sure that Willie Nelson, at 77 years old, doesn't end up doing time. But for the other 850,000 of us that are arrested on marijuana offenses, we don't get that kind of treatment. We don't get those kind of breaks that Willie Nelson is going to get. And I'm not suggesting in any way that Willie Nelson shouldn't get a break, but we should all get that break. There shouldn't be a break to be had. Marijuana should just be legal for us to use and possess and grow in the first place. 850,000 marijuana arrests every year. And as we talked about in the news today, the Human Rights Watch came out with their study of New York City pot possession arrests. Mere possession arrests of less than an ounce of marijuana in a state that has decriminalized the possession of marijuana, people are going to jail and because they can't afford $1,000 bail, they are spending 2 weeks or more in jail. For all those people spending time in jail, we have all the jobs that they lose because their employer doesn't look too kindly at them taking an unannounced 2 week break because they got popped with pot. How about the people that lose their jobs from drug testing? How about the people that lose their kids in some sort of custody hearing with a bitter ex-spouse who brings up their marijuana use as a reason to declare someone an unfit parent? How about all the civil asset forfeitures that take place? You know, they're not going to take Willie Nelson's bus, the Honeysuckle Rose, but they could take all sorts of property from Willie Nelson if they really wanted to. The horror of civil asset forfeiture means that your property is charged with a crime, even if you were never charged with a crime, and you have to go defend your property in court to prove that it's innocent, because it's guilty until proven innocent by you. They take your property away from you just in the name of the war on drugs, on some crazy theory that you may have purchased your boat or your house or your big screen TV from the proceeds of illegally dealt marijuana. We have people that are going in for organ transplants who lose their organ transplant because of their marijuana use, because of the testing for marijuana. We have people that are underemployed or unemployed because of the testing for marijuana, or maybe they've lost their jobs because of the use of marijuana. 850,000 people arrested this year for marijuana. Some of those people will be people that are convicted of their third strike, or people that are caught violating their probation because they're using marijuana, and put back into prison where they can't contribute to society, where they can be taught more of the criminal arts, where they can have less of a chance of rejoining our active society when they finally get out of prison. Yes, let's not arrest Willie Nelson. Let's not lock up Willie Nelson, but let's not arrest or lock up any of us. You know, Snoop Dogg also weighed in on this on TMZ just this weekend, and he said that they better leave Willie the fuck alone, man. Willie Nelson is a legend. Sometimes you need to back up off of certain people and have a certain amount of respect for your elders, and Willie Nelson is our elder. Willie Nelson is my people. If you got a problem with Willie Nelson, you got a problem with me, according to Snoop Dogg. Well, yeah, he is our elder. He is a legend. We should have respect for him, but again, he shouldn't be treated any differently than any other American who is exercising their American right to use hemp. If experimenting with our consciousness is not a part of life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, the Declaration of Independence isn't worth the hemp it was written on. So says Terrence McKenna, and so says Normal Show Live. Free Willie Nelson. Free the 850,000 people that are charged with marijuana arrests every year. Free the 40,000 or so people that are currently sitting in jail right now for a marijuana possession, for a marijuana cultivation, for marijuana distribution, or increasingly, conspiracy theories, conspiracies to distribute marijuana, where in some cases drugs aren't even found and people are convicted on conspiracy charges alone. The Willie Nelson case just shines the spotlight on the insanity of arresting and prosecuting people for marijuana. Everybody in the media is treating this like it's some sort of funny story, some sort of human interest story, but what it really does is show how insane it is to prosecute for marijuana, period. It's not that he's 77 years old. It's not that it's Willie Nelson. It's not that he's been known to smoke marijuana all his life. It's that he's a human being, that he's an American citizen in the land of the free and the home of the brave, that is charged with the possession of dried vegetable material. This is insane. It's not the America we deserve. Fight for your rights. Free Willie Nelson. Legalize marijuana. Let's be free. Let's be adults. Let's live in the country that we all want it to be. We cannot have our true freedom until marijuana is legalized for everyone. I'm Radical Russ for Ganja John and Cannabis Carry. Thanks for joining us for Hour 1. Hour 2 is up next. And until next time, take care of each other, tokers.
This is Normal Show Live, the voice of the marijuana nation.
Take it on one more time. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it, and it goes down smooth.